This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela. My guest today is Daniel Maldonado, a filmmaker, an artist, a writer who's done over 11 films in all different kinds of formats. I'm fascinated by his 16mm use, by 8mm, Super 8, all the way to digital. I mean, this is like a working filmmaker nowadays, and I'm really curious to speak with him about what it is to be a Latino filmmaker today, and not just a Latino maker, but an independent filmmaker. I absolutely adored his film Home. It just brought a smile to my face as soon as it came on and I saw New York City. It was just lovely. And I want to congratulate you, Daniel, because you've worked very, very hard, not only for Home, but I see from everything you've done. And I'm proud of you. And thank you so much for giving me this time.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey.
I'm sure. Yeah. I want to go back to this, what we were speaking about before. All of this, these films, Mind Rape, Secret, Buttercup, Kings, 10,082, Pacifier, Stickers, Episode 22, Lalo, Episode 21, A Haiku for the Ghostwriters, and Home. If you could put it all together, is there a thread to all of these creations of yours?
I think if I were to really spend some time, I would say there has to be, and I probably could come up with something. It's been, something for me where I've been wanting to cross genres and styles. I feel that on the one hand, when you take on a project that's a more traditional narrative, it's one thing, and of course has many challenges, and I've sort of gone that route, but then in a more, I guess, painterly kind of way, been able to cross over to more experimental work that allows me to have more direct connection with the projects. By myself. So I think I couldn't do one without the other.
You couldn't do one without the other. And in your explanation, is there a reason for your exploration of genres?
Yes. I think through the early work and through the formal training that I was given, I just wanted to explore, and I think, well, I'd like to say that it was only until the last, maybe, the last 10 years, did I really hone in on what it is, or rather, the direction that I wanted to go in and stay with that. I think that the first 10 or so years, it was just exploring and finding my voice.
That's so cool. And what is the decision? What is your genre? What did you arrive at?
Well, on one hand, I will continue to make experimental work. That's something that feeds my soul. But And that can go anywhere from, video art to film art, and that's a whole different subject to explore. But with the more traditional narrative work, I found that I'm more interested in the human condition, and I feel that the stories that I started to be interested in and started to create films and scripts out of are definitely dealing with not only the immigrant, but as well the conditions, the more universal stories that can be told for us as a human race to understand ourselves and how we communicate and connect with others.
And what is important to you about that? And how do you understand that film can advance that, understanding ourselves better, communicate with ourselves better?
It's for me, it's the basic nature of, you know, understanding. I know that we are going through a tumultuous period. Mm-hmm. Right now. But I think my what I hope to continue to do is to continue to focus on this particular perspective, because I think if we really truly continue to try to work at who we are as human beings, we'll understand others as well as more of ourselves, and you know, just something that's always felt strong to me as far as continuing to understand these complex emotions.
Mm-hmm. To go back to you in terms of who you are as a person and what's your background and why you choose these immigrant stories, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I am from New York, and I've been making films in New York for my whole life, and I always felt that this, even though it's a city that has been photographed many, many, many times, there's still a wealth of stories to be told. So that excites me. And particularly, you know, the immigrant story. I mean, you know, my family, my father, they all came here as immigrants. And
from where? Where do they come from? And where in New York specifically are you? The Queens, Staten Island, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan?
I have lived in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. So I'm kind of making my way around all the boroughs.
Right.
You know, most recently fell in love with Queens, and I've been living there. And that, as you know, is one of the most, you know, multicultural places on earth. And so that sort of continued with my interest in telling these stories. But my family is from Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And on my mother's side, I have family from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So
you have mixed blood.
Yes. I also have Filipino blood as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it that you did a DNA test, or is it that you know from father, mother, there's all those people?
No, my grandfather was born in Ponce, and he married a woman from Manila.
Wow.
And then on my father's side, it's all Ecuadorian.
And
yeah.
Do you know Ecuador?
Oh, yes. I visited a couple of times. Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
I mean, crazy.
Yeah, totally.
It's funny, though, in a way, because it's sort of, I guess if you say, like a hodgepodge, you know, a mixed background. It sort of explains a little bit who I am in the sense of multiple interests, and also on a bigger scale, like, you know, culturally. New York City is also a great place to be because you are, you know, exposed to different cultures. Whether I write a story about an immigrant from Ecuador or an immigrant from China, you know, that's all something that's a beautiful thing. That's how it all comes together.
Yeah, I know that's definitely one of the wonders of New York City. Everybody arriving, everybody, all the colors that you see, all the people that you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that I love the most. So, what is it like to be a filmmaker today? An independent filmmaker in 2017?
It is, on one hand, has gotten a little bit easier.
In what way?
The tools, you know, there's the tools are more accessible.
Right.
And so, you know, with that, there's a proliferation of content and films. And that could be a problem sometimes because, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, you're able to have more voices. But at the same time, I feel that it sometimes can be a problem with saturation. You know, it's trying to find what works and what doesn't. It's also challenging just because of the fact that there's still a lot of obstacles to go through when you're making films, and of course the bar gets raised. I don't know. I think. What I found is this sort of manic sort of place to work, where you have to really, really be consistent and persistent in order to be able to continue to make films and have them seen.
Right. And so, I mean, you've been around a lot of different festivals. How do you, you know, do you do it all yourself? Is it, how does it work? I mean, do you, what is the rhythm that you put into it? How do you bring your team? Now you're going to be off for a couple of months with home. How do you manage all of that?
I have been doing this for, I guess, 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're a veteran. So I want you to explain it, because there's a lot of people out there that don't know. You know, they have no clue. They have no idea. Yeah. They have a perception of what it is to be a filmmaker or what it takes, but maybe not. But you have been doing it. You have been hard at labor at it. So,
yes,
you know.
Yes. Well, as an independent, you know, you have to adopt the DIY aesthetic.
Right.
And I think paying your dues over time, you start to, you know, get a return, basically. I think that throughout the years, I've been able to have collaborations with people who have now become friends and have also, you know, continued with new work, and that's helped a lot, especially people that you get along with and that you trust. Those are the people that you want to continue to work with. I've been making shorts for, I guess, 15 plus years, and you know, have been living in New York, so I built up a nice team of people that I've worked with and resources, and I decided at one point would I be embarking on my first feature, and I think it was several years ago that I realized it was time to do it, but I mean it's a struggle, it's a constant struggle, and the one thing that I sometimes forget to mention is dealing with rejection. And you know, anyone will tell you, especially, you know, an artist will tell you that it's the hardest thing, you know. It's soul crushing.
Yeah.
And it never ends, you know. It continues it, but I think I want to say I think that you know, I'm able to manage it, or at least manage my expectations and be able to manage my emotional or my sensitivity to rejections, because, you know, sometimes it's not so much about the work, it's other factors. So, but it's definitely a bit of a roller coaster, and particularly, you know, when you're starting out.
Right.
So I hope people can understand that and you know, accept that.
And when you talk about rejection, you talk about rejection from grants, rejections from film festivals, right? Rejections from people that you might want to work with that don't want to work with you.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Can't work with you for, you know, for scheduling conflicts or whatever.
Yes, yes. Especially when you have something that you're very close to, you know, it could sting. Mm-hmm. I mean, but like I said, it's something that I think once you've been able to be at it for a while,
mm-hmm.
you definitely build up your confidence, and then you trust yourself. I think if you trust your work, and I think, you know, when you have to deal with it, you're not so, I don't know. I think it doesn't hit you as hard. I think you're able to move on a lot faster. And if anything, one little thing that I can say is that during those early years, and being able to make films and also, you know, deal with rejection, I think that's put me in a place where it almost empowered me, because I wanted to try harder the next time. So I think that has a lot to do with the motivation of continuing to make films, is, you know, saying, all right, I can do better.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. That segues into perfectly. I mean, that motivation, where does your tenacity come from, and why, and when did you realize that you had to be a filmmaker, you had to do this craft and dedicate yourself to it and dedicate all of these years to it?
That's something that when I think about or get asked, I think it's almost like, this is going to sound, I don't know, strange, but I can't see myself doing anything else. I came upon this back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that, you know, it's something that I connected with.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you can tell stories in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And with a camera, especially, that it's as a dynamic of photography. But I thought that throughout the creating of or making the films in the early years, and I guess I fell into this love affair with cinema, and that's never stopped.
Mm.
If anything, it's gone deeper and deeper. And unfortunately, sometimes it gets in the way of other relationships. But
right.
But yeah, it's a very strong love for cinema, and exploring new ideas that keeps me going, and to be able to you know, tell stories through a narrative way and create ideas in an experimental way. And so it's been sort of a bit of a luxury. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. So when, you know, now with home, it's you know, it's lush and it has character and it has the city and all these, you know, beautiful little stories inside.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get permission to shoot the city? Did I ask you this when we saw each other at the party? I mean, I was curious. I was like, isn't this illegal? I mean, like, since 9-1-1, weren't we, like, people were, like, barred from, like, taking pictures? I was like, how did he do that? You know, I recognized 168th Street immediately. I was like, ah! Yeah.
We just screened a film a couple of days ago in San Antonio, mm-hmm. at the festival. And there was a gentleman in the audience during the Q&A who's like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that opening shot on yeah. top of the tracks.
Yeah.
And obviously he wasn't from New York, so I felt like I could make something up.
Right.
But no, I was honest. I my explanation was that I spent several weeks living in the subways, essentially.
Wow.
And I would say that I probably visited 90% of all the subway stations in the four boroughs.
Hmm.
And so through that extensive research, I came upon 168th, and it was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that extensive field research, you should mm-hmm. add, right? Because you're literally out there. So what are some of the ones that are really, really cool?
Some of the ones that I liked are obviously in the film, but the ones that I also liked that didn't make it were some of the stations along the J line. This was out, you know, more the exteriors, and we decided to shoot the whole story, you know, in the subway. But I like to utilize some of the art as backdrop. Mm-hmm. So there were a bunch of stuff that we had to cut out. There's some stuff on 59th Street, Columbus Circle. I liked some of the stuff on Prince Street, off the NR. There's a few up in the Bronx.
Which ones?
I can't remember.
Because I'm Bronx proud, huh?
Yeah. Well, I would say definitely the Grand Concourse.
Yeah.
Is what I remember the most. I have actually a list of stations. I don't have them in front of me at the moment, but I would definitely say, I'm just thinking about a few more now. It just came to mind. I just can't remember exactly which street that was. But I took a bunch of photographs. I was more fascinated sometimes with stations that had more of interior, exterior sort of setup. I liked also the station in Court Street.
Oh, yeah.
The G and the 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Yes. Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island City. Yeah, there was definitely a bunch. I'm actually... you got me rambling now. I'm actually looking to do a piece mm-hmm. on Queensboro Plaza.
Right.
Using all of those tracks that, mm-hmm. You know, go across each other and connect.
Yeah, it's pretty gigantic. So yeah. when you're living down there, I mean, did you have cameras and no one said anything? Were you hiding?
Yes, we had to plan accordingly because it is illegal to film in the subways, and you can, but you have to supply $1 million insurance.
Oh my lord!
So that's not going to happen for a low budget independent.
Right.
So I have a background of working a lot in guerrilla filmmaking, so I figured, well, might as well use that on this first feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a matter of having two cameras that were shooting simultaneously that were, you know, allowing us to accumulate the footage that we needed. Mind you, we were, you know, a very small crew. We didn't even have a slate to, because the slavery obviously would have attracted attention. Nor did we have like big boom mics and things like that. So it was, you know, definitely going under the radar. And then moving, you know, a lot quicker, you know, with the smaller crew.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we had a moment, actually a couple of moments where we were stopped. One of them was on the 34th Street NR line, which is also a crazy complex maze. But we got stopped there, and while we were stopped, I made sure that the other camera was still rolling, so we were able to get the material we needed. Yeah, there was a lot of things that were filmed down there. We had our actor basically in character the whole time, while we gave him a little earpiece that he had, you know, stuck in his ear, that I was directing him while he was actually engaging with the public.
Wow, Mano, that's amazing! And how did and how long did that take you?
We were down there for about, I would say, a good full week of filming. We were starting with doing night shoots, so we were able to control the set, you know.
Right.
But I think after a certain time, after a certain few days, we decided to switch to shooting during the day with more people and more foot traffic, as our character navigated his way through all the subways.
And
but yeah, that was a big element.
Yeah, I mean, it's knowing this like makes me, you know, admire you more, because that takes, you got to be swift, you got to know what you want, even though you're sort of like, it's like a chess game, right? You don't know where any of the people are coming or who's going to come at you, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's that was exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, I mean, we had, you know, went through Grand Central and a lot of the places where, you know, Jeremy Ray Valdez, you know, who plays Danny, was actually having fun with it. I mean, you know, to see where it would take us, basically. And he was great. I mean, he stayed in character the entire time.
Yeah. And for you, what is this movie about? Home.
Well, home is it has a couple of things that I like to speak about. It's about connecting with each other, and I know that's something that's come up in the recent years, and it's important, and it's something that I think is been forgotten, or we remember it and then we forget it and then we remember it. But it's this connection that we make with each other, this interpersonal connection, and you know it, that coming from these themes of urban alienation, but most importantly, it's communication. Both stories have the central theme of communication in the various forms of. The various forms of communication and how that leads to making connections with each other. Again, going back to what I was saying earlier about the human condition and some of these things that are, you know, most important.
Yeah, absolutely. But then does it have that little innuendo of home, New York City for you? Or is that just like a given?
Well, I guess that's something that maybe in the back, it's not the precedent, I guess. For me, it's more of like, what does home mean to you? This is why we did it as an acronym. And I've always thought of home, the word home, as a feeling. And what that feeling means, because, you know, we all have different interpretations. I mean, they always say it's, you know, it's where you lay your head at night, but, you know, for me, it's a feeling. Yes, in New York, is that home. But it could be other things as well. It's really interesting right now because I'm traveling for the next 2 months, and I'll be re-examining what that means.
Sure. And where are you going with the film?
I am leaving tomorrow for Guadalajara, and there is the big festival, but I'm participating in the film market as we have several meetings with distributors. So we're kind of at the stage of now seeing our distribution prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I'm going to Los Alamos, mm-hmm, in Sonora.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Mexican screening. And right after that, I'm going to the San Diego Latino Film Festival,
mm-hmm,
where the film will be screening several times. Then to the North Hollywood Cinefest in L.A., the Phoenix Film Festival,
mm-hmm,
and then the Chicago Latino Film Festival. And then I wrap up, as of now, I wrap up in probably the most interesting place I've so far, which is Bentonville, Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah, it's right in the heart of the South. And I'm interested in how this film will do,
mm-hmm,
with those audience. It's actually a new festival called the Bentonville Film Festival, which is put on by Gina Davis. And it's a film geared towards women and diversity. So I'm happy to, that we're screening down there.
Yeah, to participate, especially, in today's climate. We definitely need projects that bridge conversations, through art. It's the easiest way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've thought of this, but I find it to be such a marvel in a sense that where it appears, speaking in general terms, that so many people in the nation are so enthralled by New York City and yet, it seems that most of the people, it feels like in the present climate that what New York City is what people are rejecting. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so I find that to be an interesting, disconnect, I hope your film somehow helps people see the city differently and maybe us differently,
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, and that's something that as I was, putting this film together, or the script also, is going back to telling, most importantly, a story that is universal. And as as we did with Home, and as I will do in my subsequent scripts and films, is to put brown people, or put immigrants, and show that it's not isolated to this one particular race or community, or it's to create these universal languages so that we're able to show these films all over the country and all over the world, and people will have that understanding. Me personally, as a Latino, I want to put Latino actors.
Yeah, absolutely, and I thank you for that. It's very, very noble. And finally, I think, where did you get the name Gas House Films from?
Oh, that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I just want to know.
Yeah, well, it was just something that back in the 20s, there was a baseball team called the Gas House Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I liked that name. It just stuck with me. And back in the early 90s, when I started making films, I thought of Gas House Films. And it was a time also that I was doing other things. I was, doing these art parties and whatnot, and then, used the name for a production company. And it got to be at a point where, like, I was just kept using it, and I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be it.
Okay.
It's like holding on to that same phone number so everyone has it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like me, yeah. My number, I've had it since cell phones came out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm going on 20 years.
Wow.
But, you know, wow. If it ain't broke, don't change it, right?
That's what I say.
So, yeah. Mira, and so Danielle, are you proud? Are you happy that you're going to be going to all these places and representing your work?
I am, of course. I'm happy to take this around, and you know, important to me that I be there.
Mm-hmm.
That way, I can be able to talk to audiences. For the same reasons like I just explained, how important that is, and you know, I don't want to be like the whole getting on the soapbox thing, but I want to be able to at least say, hey, this is what this film means to me, and I hope, you know, it somehow stays with you in some way. I was even saying this at the Q&A a few days ago, that it took me about 5 years to make this. And the reason why I stuck with it, even though there was a lot of obstacles, a lot of low points, I stuck with it because of what it meant to me and the stories. And a lot of them were based on real stories. You know, the script was based on some actual events.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. You must be a very patient person. Are you?
I've been practicing for many years, but yeah.
Well, I congratulate you again, and I look forward to seeing more of your work, and I'll be on the lookout, and I'm proud of you, and thank you for giving us such lovely lovely films, and acknowledging, you know, the great talent that a lot of, you know, Latin Americans have out there, and putting us out there. It's great.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I think it's something also that, if I can make a quick comment,
mm-hmm.
as far as Latin talent, you know, the thing that I've recently been concerned with is U.S. Latino voices, because we have a lot of great talent from South America, Caribbean, Mexico, Central America, and, you know, Spain, all over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's been a lot of, not a lot, but there's been some neglect on the U.S. Latino voices and Latina voices, you know.
Yeah.
And so I hope that through the work that I'm doing, that, you know, can raise more attention to that.
I hope so, too. And I'm with you. And, you know, I'm on your team, so we can continue to talk about this and be together and,
yes.
and discuss it. And, you know, it's part of why I'm doing this as well, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I see that there's so many of us, and with so many great initiatives, with so much bravery, with so much impetus and intelligence, and there aren't enough spaces for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be to create or to share what we create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's been pretty important to me, and especially with this film and the audiences that it receives.
Yeah. Well, you have my support. And thank you again.